All right, the offensive line will be unveiled this weekend. D'Amico Ryan's tired of talking about the offensive line. Nick Caserio, D'Amico said that in his press conference yesterday. We'll find that. In the meantime, Nick Caserio was on with Seth and I yesterday, and we previewed the game with the Rams, and he said that the Rams defensive line, one of the best in the NFL.
Yeah, we're probably as ready as we'll be on the offensive line. So, you know, we understand the challenge in front of us against the Rams. I mean, this is arguably like top to bottom, like 1 through 5 when you include Puna Ford in there, which not everybody's really talking about Puna. I mean, they have probably, this is collectively, you know, one of the better defensive lines we'll probably see over the course of the year, just from a 1 through 5 basis. Like, we're going to face good defensive linemen every week, and some teams maybe only have 1 or 2, but, you know, when you look at the Rams, I mean, they literally have 5 guys who are as good as anybody in the league at their respective positions. So we're certainly going to have to account for their defensive line on almost every snap. I mean, Verse kind of moves around the front a little bit. I mean, this is a really good front. Again, it's probably as good of a front, just top to bottom, that we're going to face 1 through 5. So, you know, we're going to need everybody to just focus on their execution, their fundamentals, and their assignment, understand what the intent is on each play, and just make sure the communication is clean. It's going to be a hostile environment. It's going to be on the road. So we just got to make sure we have all 5 doing the same thing. And the tight ends will be a part of it, and the running backs will be a part of it. Quarterback will certainly have responsibility in it as well. So it's going to take a collective effort to handle their defense without question.
They really, you know, they're technically a 3-4 defense, and yet they have, like, the only guy on their defensive line that I think is, like, old school 3-4, and he isn't even, he's really good, is Puna Ford, where, all right, this guy's a defensive tackle. But, like, Braden Fisk and Kobe Turner. Kobe Turner.
Yep.
Like, they've just got, every time I mention the Rams defensive line anywhere online and talk about it in a video, I forget one of them, and a Rams fan swoops in and says, hey, don't forget Kobe Turner. Don't forget Byron Young.
Like, yep.
They've got 5 really good guys on their defensive front.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I feel, this is why it's such a great test for the Texans offensive line in week 1. I feel much, much better about the Texans offensive line. I think they're going to be a better overall unit. I think they're going to have better fundamentals, better technique. I don't think there's going to be as many tackles for a loss. But in pass protection, at times, you can only scheme so much pass protection. Guys are going to have to be one-on-one versus some really good defensive linemen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the test is. That I don't, like, even if this was the best offensive line in the league, you're going to lose some of those individual one-on-one battles.
Yep.
So going into week 1, where, you know, D'Amico Ryans yesterday said he doesn't know how good the offensive line is going to be. I think the ball is going to be coming out fast early on, and I think they're going to use the running backs as receivers a lot. I think the running backs are going to be chipping the defensive ends. I think that they're going to try to do everything they can to help out the offensive line, and the Rams defense is going to, you know, adjust to that. Then it becomes, when do you take your shots? Because I don't think they can cover Nico Collins.
Yeah.
But they can get to C.J. Stroud.
Yeah.
So when you dial up the moments where you have max protection and you're keeping everybody into block except for you feel like you got the right play dialed up for Nico, that's where you're going to get your fireworks. But just like the promo we've been running with Clint the last couple days, I agree with Clint. I think it's going to be probably a relatively low-scoring game, maybe a little bit of a boring game by both offenses.
Yeah.
And it's going to be those shot plays that end up making the difference.
Yeah, I've thought all along this is going to be an under game. I think this game's going under 44. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I think both teams have big advantages defensively in the trenches against the other team's offensive line. Texans with their defensive line with Alaric Jackson, he's been, you know, he's their left tackle. He hasn't practiced much because of blood clots. If they've got to get it out fast, and I'm going to play D'Amico here on the offensive line in a second, but as long as we're talking about this, how concerning are these hamstring injuries to Christian Kirk and Braxton Berrios, who would seem to be 2 of the perfect targets to work that quick game, middle of the field type of stuff?
Right. And I think it's very concerning. And it's one of those things that in week 1, I'm really concerned about it because I like Jalen Nowell a lot, but he's a rookie. And slot receiver is one of the toughest positions for a rookie to play. So that's where you have the element of surprise. So the Rams don't know exactly how you're going to use Jalen Nowell. So you can spring that on him. But if this were week 8, that's where I would say, look, man, this is why you draft 2 wide receivers. You got wide receiver injuries, but look, we have depth on the in the wide receiving core. He's not there yet, so I don't know what to expect out of Jalen Nolan week one. Jaden Higgins, I think it's easier to get the ball as a rookie just because his size and his hands alone make him viable,
yep.
Especially if teams are rotating their coverage over to Nico Collins. I think he's going to get his touches and his opportunities. Jalen Nolan can get a little bit dicier. So I don't feel awesome about those guys having the two of you. You got three small, speedy receivers.
Yep.
That you went out and got this offseason, I think specifically to help C.J. Stroud out in the quick passing game.
Yeah.
And when the pass protection isn't great, zoom, there we go. And two of those guys are injured, and one of those guys is a rookie. So for what they really wanted to do this year, I hope at least one of those guys, either Braxton Berrios or Christian Kirk, is healthy and ready to go.
Yeah, might be a Dalton Schultz game. We'll see.
That I want Dalton Schultz. I know people are going to cringe when I say this.
Blocking.
There's times where I want Dalton Schultz helping in there in pass protection.
Yeah, helping a rookie on the offensive line. Well, let's talk about that. Here was D'Amico Ryans. You alluded to this earlier, Seth. D'Amico Ryans. Finally, the offensive line questions about who's going to play and this and that are going to be over because the ball's going to get snapped on Sunday. D'Amico's tired of O-line questions.
Yeah, for our offensive line, we'll see. There's been questions all offseason about our offensive line. Everybody wants to know who's going out there. Who is this guy, this position, that position. It's just a lot of talk that I'm tired of talking about it. Like, it's time to go play and let's see how our five matches up against a really great defensive line. And that's what we'll see on Sunday. Let's see how it all plays out.
Okay, so my question to you, Seth Payne, let's power rank the starting five offensive linemen by level of concern for each of them going into this Rams game on Sunday, with five being the fifth one being the one you're least concerned about, all the way up to number one being the one you're most concerned about going into this game, especially the way you've laid out how all these pieces on the Rams defensive line are so very good. So
you want me to go most concerned to least concerned?
No. Count them up to one. Yeah.
Titus Howard, least concerned.
Yep. Okay.
But he's got a big test this week.
Yes.
He's got a really big test. But I'm least concerned about him. Ariante Ursery. I'm going to say Ariante Ursery only because I think that Nick Caley is going to – he's not going to leave him out there on an island.
Okay.
Ariante Ursery is going to have help from a tight end, a sixth offensive lineman, or a running back most of the time. I don't think they're going to leave him out on an island.
Interesting. So he's four for you. So you are least concerned, and this actually makes sense now when you think about how last season went and who they've picked up here, the big unknowns on the interior. That actually makes a lot of sense. Sure. Not that Ursary's a known commodity, but the two tackles, you're least concerned about the two tackles.
Just by virtue of also what they can do with play calling to help him.
Yep. That makes sense.
Then I'd go Ed Ingram.
Ingram three, okay.
Ed Ingram, I think Minnesota, had him as a starter for a couple of years, and ultimately he fell out of favor with them up there. I think this might end up being a better scheme fit for Ed Ingram. So I don't feel awesome about him, but I'm not like you can have a good offensive line with if Ed Ingram is one of those guys.
Okay.
Then I would go Laken Tomlinson, and then I would go Jake Andrews. I'm most concerned about. He's only played 70. He's had 70 plus snaps of offensive line snaps in the NFL.
Yep, yep.
I feel good about Jake Andrews in the run game. It's pass protection, and in those moments where he is one on one, in training camp I saw at times defensive linemen have success against both him and Patterson. I didn't feel great about him or Patterson in pass protection, and I felt better about Jake Andrews as a run blocker. So I'll put him at number one, and he's got some really good interior defensive linemen he's going against.
No doubt. Man, this game is flush with really intriguing matchups. Probably the most exciting matchup in this game, I would say, would be the tag team of Nacua and Adams against the tag team of Stingley and Kamari Lassiter. I mean, that's the one with the biggest star power, the highest level of just the highest level of play. You're talking about Davante Adams, who may not be at the tippy top of receivers anymore, but we saw last year he's still pretty good. Puka Nacua, when healthy, is in that upper tier. And then Stingley's the best corner in the game, and Lassiter, I think, is on track to become a Pro Bowl caliber corner if he's not there already. This was Nick Caserio on our show yesterday talking about what Davante Adams brings to the Rams offense?
No, Devontae brings a lot. I mean, he's been a very productive player in this league for a long time. I think the one thing that he provides, he has an element of position versatility. He can line up in multiple spots. He can play in the perimeter. He can play inside the formation. You know, when he was with the Jets last year, I mean, he hit us on a touchdown pass there on third down coverage, you know, on a slot fade, which we had decent coverage. I mean, JP was in a good spot, but, you know, Devontae ended up making a good move. So the thing about Devontae, he does a number of things well. He's a very smart. He's a very instinctive player. He'll probably be lined up all over the formation. Puka gives them some flexibility as well. Atwell is a little bit more, I would say, specific to pass game. You know, maybe third down kind of brings a speed element. This is where, going back to what I said a little bit earlier, there's going to be an element of kind of figuring out where they lined up, how are they deploying them, how are they utilizing them. But, I mean, Devontae is a really good football player, and he certainly presents challenges on the offensive side of the ball. And you know, no question.
There's a name Nick brought up in there, Tutu Atwell, who's their third receiver. You know, this might be one of those games, Seth, where it's, you know, Adams and Nacua versus Stingley and Lassiter kind of cancel each other out. You know, they each side will make some plays here and there. But then, especially with Sean McVay pushing the buttons on this thing, he's such a good play caller that we're going to look at the box score after the game, and especially if the Rams win, and it's going to be 2-2 Atwell with, you know, six catches for 110 yards because he ate up whoever the third corner was out there for the Houston Texans.
He
ate up Jalen Petrie, or he ate up Jalen Smith, or he, you know, the safety's got a little sideways covering him, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, I think Jalen Smith is going to be a guy to watch over the first few games just to see how much they trust him, how much they work with him. You've pointed this out. I think sometimes maybe we're overly concerned about the depth at secondary just because the starters are so good that the drop off is that huge. Whereas there's lots of good defenses that have the same concern. I mean, the Bills up there don't even know who the hell their starting cornerbacks are going to be this week. Their defensive backfield is a mess. Not in their defenses hurt them in the playoffs, but it's not. There's no team in the NFL that has starters on the two deep all across the board.
At corner. It's one of the hardest positions to find, guys.
And that's if you need something to soothe you a little bit with the questions about depth in the secondary, this is why you have a good pass rush. Your pass rush is supposed to be the thing that makes your defensive, your backup secondary better. It makes it a little bit easier for them. It just gets tense because even if you have the best pass rush in the history of the NFL, there's going to be plays where nobody gets home. So I think I don't like the depth at secondary, but it's not so glaring compared to the state of affairs on most NFL teams.
Yep, agreed. We talked about the corners, the safeties, Kalen Bullock and then C.J. Gardner-Johnson is back. He's ready to go. He's healthy. He's going to play on Sunday. Sean McVay was asked in his press conference earlier this week that the Texans have C.J. Gardner-Johnson back. What does that mean?
You feel him. I mean, when he played Philly last year, he made a bunch of big-time plays in some critical situations. You know, he's really productive in both phases. I think he's got a great concept trigger. There's a toughness that fits what they've done each of the last couple of years. And so, you know, what they do is they play their style of play at a really high level. DeVico does an excellent job with Coach Burke of being able to mix it up. But there's, you know, these guys, they play connected. 11 as one. They play tough. They fly to the football. They attack at the football. And this guy will be a great extension of that. So even though you might not have a lot of representative clips, you know, we know what kind of player this guy is. I got a lot of respect for him. He made some big time plays in that divisional loss last year for Philly.
I think the interesting thing with Sean McVay versus C.J. Gardner-Johnson specifically is that McVay knows that C.J. Gardner-Johnson sometimes can get overly aggressive. And, you know, he talked about it on the Pivot podcast, C.J. Gardner-Johnson did, about how in the Super Bowl he knew that he had to be a safety net. You know, he had to be a backstop. He couldn't be a guy that was coming up and making all these plays all the time. He had to just be conservative. And I think it's a real sign of maturity. He understood it. But that was the test in that moment, in that game versus the Chiefs. I wonder if week one, when he hasn't played all preseason long, if McVay's going to just be waiting to bait him a little
maybe.
Bit.
Like
C.J. Gardner-Johnson might have to just give himself that same talk that he did before the Super Bowl of, all right, I'm going up against McVay. McVay's going to try to bait me. McVay's going to try to get me to come up and bite on something that I got to be really dialed in on this.
Yeah. I mean, I have to imagine D'Amico's in his ear telling him that exact thing. You know, it's I'm excited to see C.J. Gardner-Johnson in a Texans uniform. All we got a few practices, you know, got about a week's worth of practices, and then he went down with that injury. So he's ready to go. He's back. He actually, D'Amico revealed this. He was actually doing some things at practice last week. So he's going to be ready to go on Sunday. Hey, Football Talk on Sports Radio 610, presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. All right, emergency pettycast. There's been a lot of petty out there this week. College football coaches, I think this is the first college football season where we've done the pettycast, and I forgot just how petty college football coaches can be. And sometimes we need to address it later in the week because they don't do their press conferences till Tuesday. So we've got some college football petty and some Cardi B petty coming up in the next segment. Stay there.